Thanks for listening to messages here at First Baptist Church Monticello. We are a multi-generational church in the panhandle of Florida that is committed to worshiping our great God, growing closer to Jesus Christ, serving God by serving others, and sharing the good news about Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Be sure to like us on Facebook and listen to our messages anytime on our website, fbcmonticello.org. Thanks for being part of our FBC family, and enjoy the message.
This morning, we're continuing our summer message series, Summer in the Psalms. And so we've been taking these weeks of the summer while many of us are traveling, while many of us are going in different directions, to focus on some psalms. And last week, we looked at Psalm 125, which is one of the psalms of ascents, which means it's one of the songs that the people of God, Israel, sang as they were journeying to Jerusalem to spend time with God there during one of the three festivals of the year, Journey of Ascents. And the idea was that Jerusalem is high on Mount Zion. Mount Zion is Jerusalem. And so they would be going up. And as they were journeying through this ascent, they were going up to Jerusalem. They would sing these songs as they traveled together. And I can just imagine families or a couple families as they're walking along these dusty, dry, desert-like paths, that their hearts are focusing where they are ascending to Mount Zion, and they're singing these songs together. And I can just imagine what that was like. And so for us, to apply that to us, this could be things that we could think about as we go to church together, as we gather together, as the family of God gathers, that we would have these things on our hearts as we worship together. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at Psalm 133. So if you have your Bible, start turning to Psalm 133, and we'll read it here in a second. It's a very short psalm, so it's not going to take very long to read it. And, you know, when we travel together, it's hard sometimes to get along with who you're traveling with. I mean, y'all have been on trips before, and you have that small child, and they keep asking, Daddy, how much farther? How much longer? And it's really kind of a little bit discouraging when you're on like a 8 or 9 hour drive and they start asking those questions like an hour into it. It was like, okay, this is going to be a long trip. A few years ago when my kids would ask me that question, now they just pull out their phone and they get directions to wherever we're going and they know in pinpoint accuracy how long it's going to take us to get there. But back when they didn't do that, I would say, 1 hour, depending on where we were. I mean, it could be 8 hours or it could be, 30 minutes. I would just say 8 hour, or 1 hour, just to make it easy. But sometimes when we travel together, people will, get on each other's nerves, and unity is not part of what's going on. I mean, it's, close quarters. We're traveling together. We're out of our element. We're away from our homes and our own beds, and you mix people together, and sometimes that's rough, even especially traveling with family. I mean, we all know what it's like to gather together with our family members at Thanksgiving and Christmas time, and sometimes those things don't go that well, and we're not even traveling anywhere. So unity is something that is an issue as we travel together, and it was interesting to travel with our students this last week. Our students traveled very well. They did their own they were in charge of their own luggage and getting checked in and getting back. We had to have our luggage on the bus before breakfast on Friday. They did that perfectly, and they traveled very good together. But it's not always like that. Sometimes we travel, and it just turns into kind of a mess. The psalm that's before us today, Psalm 133, is all about unity. And I can imagine these parents and these Jewish families, as they're traveling towards Jerusalem, how important singing a song about the blessing that comes in our lives when we're unified and when we're getting along together. Can you imagine that? I mean, a couple families, a mom and a dad, maybe a grandmother or grandfather, traveling along with their kids, and they're asking, how much farther is it going to be? And it's maybe going to be quite a while, and they're all walking and they're carrying stuff. There might be a donkey involved or something, and it's just this opportunity for disunity. And so here they have this beautiful song, which is Psalm 133, about unity and how God blesses those that are unified together. And so this message this morning has a clear application for families, but it also has a clear application for church families, because it talks about how God blesses his people as we're unified together. And so I'm looking forward to Psalm 133 today. So if you found your place, Psalm 133, please stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Psalm 133. Three verses. The word of God says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this passage of scripture, and we thank you for the Psalms that we've been looking at this summer. And Father, as we look at this Psalm of Ascents, we pray that you would speak to our hearts on the issue of unity in our families and also in our church. So Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Father, we thank you for these moments that we spend together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Psalm 133. I hope you have your message notes and you'll follow along. The first thing you'll see there is good days together with God's people. The psalmist, and it's David, it's listed right there in the title, a song of ascents of David. David is the author. He says, "How good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity?" And that's good days together with God's people. When a group of people come together for a purpose like we have, and Casey reminds us on Sundays why we gather together to worship, grow, serve, and share. When we gather together for the purposes of God and we're getting along together, this verse says that it's good, but not only good, that it's pleasant, that it's pleasing when God's people live together in unity. And you can just imagine the people of God singing the song as they're going towards the Temple Mount, they're going towards Jerusalem, they're going up towards the city of God as they're traveling together, and they're singing about unity. They're singing about unity within God's family. And so this has a clear word for us this morning that it's good days together with God's people. And you know, it's not always like that. I mean, sometimes the most divisive place to be is the church. And there's people one side fighting with another side, and no one's getting along together, and it just seems like there's no unity. But this verse talks about how good and pleasing and pleasant it is for God's people to be together. And it's a blessing from God. Listen to this verse from James chapter 4. He says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." James here is saying these are the things that causes division within the body of Christ. These are the things that cause disunity, that cause division, and we need to stay away from them. We need to focus on what brings us together, not what separates us. And so there are good days together with God's people as we are unified together. The next thing I want you to notice is that God's people are blessed with God's Spirit. Now this is found in verse 2, and this idea of oil and being anointed with oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit's work in a believer's life. It says, "It is like precious oil poured out on the head, running down the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down the collar of his robe." And so what the picture is the priest, the chief priest, the original chief priest, Aaron, being anointed with oil, and the oil coming down his head, down into his beard, and down into his robe and covering the whole thing. He's completely being covered by the anointing and the blessing of God. And so in the scripture, this oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and it's a picture of the Holy Spirit invading our space and our life and just being all over us. And that's what this unity brings. We are blessed with God's Spirit when we are unified. It's within this unity of the family of God that we receive this blessing from the Holy Spirit that just gets all over us. One commentator thought, believed that Aaron was bald because of this psalm. Because if he wasn't bald, then the oil would have stayed up in his hair. And so I kind of, just for a moment, thought about that and my current follicle situation, and I could appreciate it. I don't have that beard, but you get this picture of this thing that just starts at the top, and it just comes down, and it just covers. And that's what we will be blessed by God through His Holy Spirit as we are unified together. It is like precious oil being poured on the head. That's what being unified with the body of Christ is like. It's like being blessed and that blessing just being poured out all over us. Listen to this verse. This is Exodus 30:30. Anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them so that they may serve me, God says, as priests. And so this was the way that they were consecrated or set apart for God's work, was through this anointing. But it's interesting to me in this passage, and this might be an application for our context, that God mentions, that David mentions Aaron, who is the priest, and that how it is like the blessing that Aaron got as he was anointed. I want you to think about a local pastor like myself, and what it's like for a pastor to lead a church that is unified together, and what it would be like to lead a church that is divided about everything. And what a difference that would be in the minister's life. Just think about that minister, that priest, for a moment. I mean, just think about the rich blessing that it is when a person is leading a church, shepherding a local body of believers that is unified together, that is going the same direction together, that get along with one another. What a blessing that would be. But think conversely, what a disaster it would be, or how hard it would be to lead a group that doesn't seem to get along, and one side against the other side, and nobody seems to like each other within the family of God. Think about having to be tasked to help grow a church that's like that. And I am so thankful that this church is not like that. That this church, that we get along together. You know, you can tell that by our monthly business meetings, can't you? We're communicating what's going on. Everybody is in accord. We don't have a lot of sides being chosen, and I'm so thankful for that. And listen, that's a blessing for your pastor. I mean, that is part of the blessing of being unified like that. It's good for your pastor's heart, for my sleep at night. It's good when we're unified together. But you know, that's something that we have to protect, isn't it? I mean, that's not something that we need to take for granted, but it's something that we need to protect, and we need to say, God, thank you for what you're doing in our midst. Help us to be unified and help us to protect what you're doing in this place. Listen, disunity upsets what God is doing, because it's just disunity, and God's not gonna bless that when everybody's looking at their own way or their own desire, what they want as opposed to what this other group wants, and it's us against them and all of that all the time. It's not impossible for God to bless that, but God just won't bless that. I mean, why would God bring new families to our church if we can't get along together? And I'm so thankful that He is constantly bringing new families to our church and new friends to our church, because we get along and we love each other and we're a family. It's not perfect. Of course, I mean, just like our families are not perfect, but it's healthy and it's good, and we need to protect that. So God's people blessed with God's Spirit. Also, next on your outline, it's God's people refreshed by God's Word. And this is the part of this passage that talks about dew falling down. It says, it is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for the Lord bestows his blessing, even life, forevermore. And so Mount Hermon is a mountain that is taller than the Temple Mount where Jerusalem is, and it's about 200 miles to the north of Jerusalem. And so what this passage is describing, and it's not somehow the dew from Mount Hermon is falling on Mount Zion where Jerusalem is. This is a very poetic psalm, so we don't have to be so liberal that we try to connect them somehow. I think a good way to think about this is that this blessing is coming from on high. It's coming down to where we are. It's a blessing from God. And in the scripture, dew symbolizes the life-giving word of God. And so when you understand that, you understand this passage in a different way because God's people are refreshed by the word of God. Listen to Deuteronomy 32:2. It says, "Let my teaching fall like rain, and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants." What a beautiful way to say, let the word of God descend on us, rain down on us to where we're soaked and we're refreshed. Now, this would be very picturesque and very meaningful to the person that's traveling up to Jerusalem because it's dry and it's rocky and it's desert-like, and sometimes the only moisture that they get there is the morning dew that lights on the plants. And now we can't appreciate that fully here in Florida, where it's going to rain every single day and it's going to come a downpour and we're going to, you know, get the boats out if it keeps going. I mean, we have abundant rain in our area, but in dry places, that dew that falls down every day is sometimes the refreshment that the ground gets and what's needed. And so if we look at that as a symbol for the life-giving word of God, we see that God's word comes down and it refreshes us and it bestows blessing on us, even life forevermore. And so we are refreshed by the word of God. And so all of this is talking about the blessing of unity within the family and within the family of God. And we're blessed when God's Spirit anoints us and blesses us. And we're also refreshed by the word of God in our life when we open up the word of God. I appreciate our deacons as they share from what they've read in the last week when we do our offertory prayer. That Bible reading plan that we're doing, the 5x5x5, and they're sharing what God has said to them this last week. That's sharing some of the refreshment that they've gotten from the Word of God this last week. And listen, that's the way that the Word of God works. It's refreshing to our souls, and it's a blessing of unity. So imagine being a part of a group that is unified together under the banner of Christ, being blessed by the Holy Spirit of God, being refreshed by the Word of God as we meet together. That's a beautiful picture of the church. That's a beautiful picture of what the church should be like. And that's a beautiful picture of what we should be striving to be like. And it's up to us to cultivate this life-changing unity, because this type of unity doesn't happen on its own. I mean, you've got to cultivate something like this. You've got to work at something like this, because it's not just going to happen. There's got to be some work and some focus to it. Listen to this verse on your message notes. This is Hebrews 10. It says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." This is a beautiful passage of scripture that says, let's not waste our opportunities that we have to be around each other and to encourage each other to do more and to love more as we are joined together as the body of Christ. You know, as your pastor, and I mentioned this our last two Wednesdays ago, that I feel like it's part of my ministry and part of my responsibility here to protect that unity that we have as a body of believers, that this is something that's sacred and it's something that matters. And so I want to protect what God is doing in this place, and I want to keep kind of diagnose things if there's something that's going wrong, something that needs to be fixed, and we need to fix it because the unity of the church is too important. And these blessings, we'll miss out on these blessings if we don't have this unity. So I wanted to mention to you this morning some enemies of unity. These enemies of unity, and that's a heart condition of selfishness. And when we are on the inside of us, we're looking out only for ourselves, and that starts in our thoughts, what we're thinking about someone else or how we're feeling about a relationship or a decision that's been made. And that works out into actions. And the action that really hurts sometimes is when that works out in bad talk and what we say, you know, gossip or backbiting or spreading little things around or starting to choose sides. We do all of that verbally, and it's not that that verbal thing that's come out is a representation of that heart attitude that's on the inside, right? We speak out of the overflow of our hearts. And so we need to be careful. That's an enemy. These thoughts and these actions of what we say and what we do can hurt. And so before acting or speaking, I think we need to ask ourselves, is this helpful? Does it build up like this passage from Hebrew says? Does it promote unity or does it provoke division? And how amazing it would be if we would pause before launching into a tirade about something or before we said a lot, that we would ask ourselves, is this going to build up or is it going to tear down? And just kind of evaluate that before we launch into it. And you see, if we'll cultivate this life-changing unity, we will be allowing the Holy Spirit of God to rain down the blessing of unity and allowing the Word of God to refresh our souls. And it comes when we focus our attention on the things that unite, not on the things that divide. What an amazing concept that is, that we can focus our attention on not the things that divide us and make a big deal out of those things, but focus on the things that unite us, the things that bring us together. Recently, I was at a meeting of the Ministerial Association here in town, and I am the chairperson of that, the chairman of that this year, and so that's something that I'm leading out in, and we were having breakfast together. And sometimes the conversation when ministers, when we get together, sometimes some of the questions get kind of pointed and some of the doctrinal issues start to rise up. And so I'm sitting there and it was really starting to bother my breakfast. I was enjoying a nice breakfast over at Brick House and they were wanting to fight about division a little bit. And so there was a question and there were some comments that were said by one of the ministers around the table, and I could tell that we were right on the edge of a full-out doctrinal debate. And so it was going to start tearing our group apart. And so I kind of stepped in there, and I said, I think we're getting to some sensitive theological areas, and maybe we need to focus on this other stuff instead. Because that's not the purpose, and I'm not saying hold back from the truth, because I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying let's focus on the group being together, because if that group gets focused on our differences, it's going to cease to exist because the ministers in town will not get along anymore. And so I saw it as my responsibility to help calm that down, and we did, and we got back to the things that we could agree on. And it's the same way it is within the life of our church. There's so much that we agree on and so much that we can be together on that we need to focus on those things. And the key thing is focusing on the cross of Christ, because that is the focus of our faith. That's why we have a relationship with Christ. And if we're a body of believers and we're looking to Jesus as the author and perfecter of our faith, then that's going to cause unity because we're all looking in the same direction. We're all looking at the same Savior. And that's what we need to do. We need to focus our attention on Him. We need to focus our lives on Him. Now, as I was looking for information about this, I came across a A.W. Tozer sermon on this very psalm, and he had some application points that I want to share with you real briefly in the last few minutes that we have, and then I've got a closing illustration from our time at Student Leadership University. A.W. Tozer, this noted theologian and pastor of a year gone by, he asked this question: how will God revive his church? And he was speaking from this very song, this very psalm. How will God revive his church? And he mentions five things. There must be a oneness of determination to glorify God alone. How insightful is that? That no one is seeking their own honor or seeking their own self-promotion, but they're focusing with determination on the glory of God alone. Also, he says, there must be a union in the absorption of the Lord's doing. And this is what he's meaning by that, is a concentration on the work of Christ, that we're focusing on what God is doing in the church, not what we want ourselves, but the activity and the mission of the church. We're focusing on the Lord's doing. And that reminds me of a quote from SLU this last week, that if it's going to be, it's up to me, was one of the things that the students were challenged. They can't just sit back and wait for something to happen. They have to work towards something. And so they use that catchy phrase, if it's going to be, it's up to me. And I think each one of us, when we think about unity within the church, if our church is going to be unified, if that's going to be, it's up to me. And that's something for each one of us today, that we each one preserve the unity of this great church. The third thing that A.W. Tozer says, we have to be one in determination to see God's wonders. We have to want what God wants and to see him working and to protect that, a determination to see God's wonders. And when we are focused on what God is doing and him working, then we're not focused on us, we're focused on him. And that makes all the difference in the world. And then the fourth thing he said about the way that God will revive his church through this type of unity is there must be a unity in prayer and expectation. A people that are praying for great things from God with specificity, that we are praying that God would move in specific ways, and he moves in and he does that, that we're focused on prayer and unleashing the power of God through prayer. And the last thing that A.W. Tozer says is we have to deal with public and private sins so that we can more fully be one. Listen, sin always divides. Sin always gets in the way. It's always a hindrance of the work of God, and God is working for us to move towards unity, and sin, private and public, are going to get in the way. So we have to deal with sin, and we have to work on that and have a short account with God. If you want to get ahead on next week's summer psalm, read Psalm 51. We'll be talking about that next Sunday morning, Psalm 51. And so, unity is something that we should strive for as we are on this journey together, just like the people of God, as they were journeying from their homes to Jerusalem, and they were singing the song about the blessing of unity in their life and how it's like oil anointed on a priest's head, and it's like dew that settles on the ground and brings that refreshing. We need to focus on the Holy Spirit's work in our life and the Word of God refreshing our souls. I already mentioned this, but at SLU, we had this comparison going on between sharks and between dolphins and how different they are. And what was so amazing about this is that we were at SeaWorld. And so in next to the shark tank, we're talking about different sharks and we're talking about different personalities of people and how to deal with difficult people. And you know, a shark, and by the way, Shark Week starts today. If you watch the Discovery Channel and Shark Week and you like air sharks and you like, I've already got Jaws on DVR. That's one of my favorite movies. I've heard of some people watching Jaws from like a wave pool. I've always wanted to do that. It seems like on top of the water would be a cool place to watch Jaws. But so there was this focus on sharks and how that represented difficult people, but they also challenged us to think about the shark in the mirror and how sometimes we have the characteristics of a shark. And it seems like a shark to me is just looking to strike. and is looking to bring blood in the water. I mean, it's just ready to destroy and to attack. And so sometimes we can be just like that as it relates to unity within the body of Christ. We're just ready. If we see a little inconsistency or we see something that's not just right or meets our expectation, we're ready to attack. I mean, we're ready to blow the thing up and just make a mess. And that reminds me of images from the movie Jaws and how that shark is just terrorizing people. And, you know, those gruesome scenes and stuff that we like to watch. So we don't want to be like that. And that was the message for our students at SLU, but it's also a message for us today. Don't look to attack, but look to build up. And so that was contrasted with dolphins who swim in pods of up to 12 dolphins at a time, and they protect each other, and they're talking with one another, and they will protect protect people, or they'll protect each other. And when one is wounded, they will get a circle around them until that wounded one starts, either gets right or the threat is gone. Do any of y'all remember what they said that was? The circle of dolphins? Putting y'all on the spot, anybody? What was that? No, not a pod. It was something else. I forget this term. It was not a reef. It was something like that. It was the circle of dolphins that were protecting the one that needed protecting. And how much better would it be if we had that same mentality, that we're not looking for an opportunity to attack and to pounce and make blood in the water, but we're looking for a way to protect. We're looking for a way to travel in groups as we do life together. What a beautiful picture of someone that is unified with the body of Christ, and we're journeying together. I want to be more like a dolphin and less like a shark, and I hope that you do as well. So we're going to take a few moments of invitation now to respond to what God's doing in these moments. And if you have some type of spiritual decision to make, maybe there's never been a time that you've trusted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You can do that right now in this moment. We've got some people that would be glad to talk to you about a relationship with Christ. Maybe you've been attending our church for a while and you want to go from being an attender to a member. You can come forward and indicate your desire to be a member of what God's doing right here. Listen, I'm excited about what God's doing right here, and I want to invite you to be a part of what God's doing here. And maybe you've never been baptized, and that's something that you've trusted Christ but never followed through in baptism. This would be an opportunity to do that right now as well. And so as Missy's going to lead us in a song, this will be an opportunity that you can come down front and let us know the decision that you have today. But let's commit together to protect the unity that we have, and even let it be deeper, that we are for each other and we are going to stand by each other, and we're going to protect one another just like a dolphin will protect a hurt dolphin, and we're not going to be like a shark. So would you please stand? We're going to have a word of prayer, and the invitation time will begin. Father, we want to thank you for Psalm 133 and the challenge that it has for us to be protecting the unity that you have blessed us with. Father, help us to be more and more like a dolphin and a family traveling together than a shark ready to attack. So, Father, I pray that you would be with us now as we have these moments of invitation, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.